Hey everyone, welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kate, and today we are chatting with an Australian, yay! Book blogger Rel Mollett is Skyping in with us from Melbourne. So yay, very excited to have you, Rel, both because you know lots about books and because you're an Aussie.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's great to be here and great
It's
to chat
not
with you too.
very often Jess feels like she's on like her own team over here.
This is
It's
true.
just
This is true.
so much easier working out the time zones when two people are on this side of the
I don't know about that, but okay, whatever.
And today we are
We
talking about
understand each
comedy
other.
and fiction. Yeah, that's it. We'll get it. And it's going to work well for today's topic. Aussies have their own brand of humor. And so, comedy and
They do.
fiction, great topic for us today. Yes.
Awesome. Jess, do you want to start
Yeah.
us off with yours?
I will. So, in my list, I tried to focus a bit on different types of comedy and fiction because I write romantic comedy, I read a lot of it, I love all different things. And I've started to notice that there's some different types both in movies and in books. So like one of them, as an example, one of the first ones is your snowball humor. So like this is, I'm thinking Confessions of a Shopaholic, if you've read either the books or seen the movie. That is where, you know, she starts out, Becky Bloomwood starts out with a little lie and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and soon her whole life is like imploding, trying to maintain the web of lies she's told. And it snowballs and snowballs. Not that I've seen it, but from what I gather, I think The Hangover is the same sort of thing. They start off with a problem and it just expands and expands and expands. And so that is funny. And I see bits now in, you know, I'll see an individual sitcom episode and they will have chosen just for that episode to do a snowball humor plot where it just like keeps rolling and rolling. And I do find those especially funny sometimes.
Hilarious. Yes. All right, Ro, what's one of your favorite types of comedy, or what really gets you laughing, especially in books? Because I find books harder to make you laugh out loud than like watching a movie.
Well, I'm probably the opposite because I hate slapstick humor. I like in movies. I can't, it just makes me cringe. I can't stand it. I feel embarrassed for the person, even though, you know, they're meant to be embarrassed. It's just my family thinks I'm weird. So I can watch an entire Mr. Bean episode and not crack a smile. I can't,
I am the same.
the Fokker movies, just, I can't do it. I can't
Oh, that is another example of snowball humor. Those make me laugh.
No. So I think for me, I just like ones where really witty dialogue, you know, where it's really snappy and fun and natural, but it's just, you know, I'm probably dodging topics here, but I'm married to a really, really funny guy, and his humor is just quick, just off what people say. Can't tell a joke to save himself, but just very, very funny. Seriously, this is so true. So that kind of banter, I really, really, really love. So that's me. How
Awesome.
about you,
What's
Hannah?
some
Well, that's.
examples of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, then I'm probably going into the books I really like. Let's see. Do you want me to start there? Maybe.
Yeah.
Then I'll
I
just
won't
take up
turn
your
you
time.
down.
So, my love for comedy and romance started many years ago, because let's just say I'm a little bit older than you two. So, let's go back about 20 years, and I have book props. Ooh, can we see them?
Woo! I
Ooh, not
can.
exactly
Yeah.
in Eden by Linda
By.
Windsor.
Yes. So, this is about 20 years old, this book. And two people that go into the Amazon, what I love about it again is that dialogue. So the funny parts, yeah, it's a little bit the circumstances they get themselves into, but it's the dialogue and the banter that they have with each other. So that's going back 20 years. I'm going to go through the decades with you a bit later, but there you go.
Okay.
I can't wait.
That's funny. So I'm actually kind of a weird, strange combination of the both of you, like taking one out and adding another. I love slapstick comedy. I think it's hilarious. One of my favorite all-time movies, like growing up, is Home Alone, and watching them like
Oh
be
yeah.
tortured by this kid
Yeah.
and falling and stepping and on goop and on a nail and putting a the spider is the one thing that I don't like because I can't handle spiders. But I'm one for slapstick, and I've recognized that I really love slapstick humor too because I absolutely love Home Improvement and like Tim Allen and all of the really dumb things that he gets himself into, and watching things blow up and him fall and all the pratfalls. And I think that that flooded into like the books that I read. One of the things that I loved about Melissa Tagg's writing when she first started writing, one of the first things that grabbed my attention is her ability to write slapstick humor into a romantic comedy book. And I howled at, like, and one of the things that came up recently, her, I can never remember which one is which, she wrote a Christmas novella series that started out with that slapstick where this girl's scarf got caught in a truck at a door, like, closing.
That and is she, amazing. Like, is that's like my Big Fat Greek Wedding when she, like, yanks her head.
I'm a sucker for slapstick comedy. I mean, I could go through like hundreds of other things that I have thought is funny, including, you know, tons of moments in Friends. But, and then one thing that I don't really love the snowball humor as much, but I really love slapstick. And then I love like the witty banter that, and then on top of that, I don't know if it's witty or not. I don't know if there's a place that you can call this humor, but like, I know Jess and I'll know what this, like, Pitch Perfect and Mean Girls, like, I don't know what to call that type of humor, but it,
well, probably a combination of both. It's exactly what you said, really, isn't it?
Maybe.
They have both.
Like, I think Jess and I have both bonded over our love of Rebel Wilson, especially
with Pitch
Perfect.
I'm just thinking, like, how do you categorize Rebel Wilson? The other day I was sitting at work and Hannah sent me like 15 Rebel Wilson quotes from Pitch Perfect, and I'm sitting there just trying not to laugh out loud.
I think Rebel Wilson is like the epitome of like wit and slapstick just all rolled into one. So
so funny. Now I'm remembering the funniest ones.
Well, how about Miranda? Have you watched Miranda at all?
No.
She's a British comedian. You have to watch it. Okay. Jess, have you watched any? Have you watched Miranda?
No. What's that one?
Oh, Miranda Hart. Have you watched Call the Midwife at all?
I've read it, the first book, and I've seen like an episode or two. I didn't realise. Is it a spin-off series? I didn't realise they had one.
No, not at all. Miranda Hart is a comedian, and she had her own sitcom called Miranda. For three seasons, I think, and then she's one of the nurses, chummy, in Call the Midwife, but her sitcom is fabulous, and the guy who's her love interest in that is the guy in Lucifer. I don't know if I haven't watched that either, but it just comes up on Netflix. He's very cute. Anyway,
sorry, my Skype crashed. Who's cute?
The guy in Lucifer.
Lucifer, who is the love interest in Miranda's sitcom.
Oh, and okay. I had scrolled past that and thought, I'm not going to watch something called Lucifer, but he's hot.
Yeah. No, I haven't watched it either. But that's, so watch Miranda. You really have to find it. You can get the episodes online. It's hilarious. And I was just saying, it's slapstick. So I've gone totally against what I say I don't like.
And see, I think that that's the thing too, is that there are sometimes that, like, there's a comedy that you don't normally love that sometimes, if done right, it just is like, that's exactly who I will watch and laugh hysterically. There have been lots of comedians that I initially don't really love, or maybe not comedians, but like people in movies or cast members in movies. Yeah. Like Pitch Perfect and Mean Girls were both two movies that I did not initially like. And the humor like grew on me over time. And now I just think that they're like two of the most hilarious movies ever. And of course the Pitch Perfect series is if I'm just combining it into one, but
yeah. So. With the slapstick, I have to wind back. I see, I don't like things like Mr. Bean, but I do appreciate good physical comedy. Like, I've been rewatching that 70s show lately, and Ashton Kutcher, so funny in it. And when it was first out, like when I first started watching it, I didn't think he was that funny because his character's the dumb one and I tend to not like that. However, times, anytime he does a pratfall, or there's times where he jumps over the couch and like accidentally stands on the cushion and slides on it, there's just something about how big and goofy he is, and it's elastic faces and can pull really funny expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's like going back to comedy too. Princess Diaries. First of all, can we pause for a second? Because Princess Diaries 3 is probably going to happen, you guys.
What?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I read this like maybe a week ago. Anne Hathaway was on her tour promoting her new movie Serenity with Matthew McConaughey. And she was asked by a fan in one of the Q&A sessions if there was going to be a Princess Diaries 3. And she said that there is a script and they're working on it. And Julie Andrews is in and she's in and like everyone wants to do it. And I'm so unbelievably excited out of my mind.
But they've already broken her up out of one couple just to make a sequel once, which broke my heart a little bit. But then it was Chris Pine, so I kind of let them do it. And it was a good movie. Chris Pine, do it again? Actually, I don't particularly like him in that movie as much. He's a little too slimy. They need to rub some dirt on his face. Take a lesson from Star Trek, people. He looks better with dirt on his face.
Yeah. Muss up his hair a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was saying about Princess Diaries initially is that, like, Princess Diaries has those the slapstick so well that it's, I think that that's like 90% of the movie. And then the funny, witty, dumb comments, like, my family quotes Princess Diaries 1 and Princess Diaries 2 like it's our love language. I mean, we quote movies and all, but Princess Diaries 1 and 2, we quote a lot. Just out of the blue, it's like, you know, we'll say, the queen is coming. in reference to her mother. Eagle is leaving.
And
you know, and then there's, you look like a moose. Yes, but a very cute moose. Make all the boy moose go, wah! Which is just the funniest thing. And so we have a great affection for Princess Diaries, so I don't even care what the number three is about. I just will watch it and love it, I'm sure.
Fair enough. We quote The Princess Bride.
Well,
of course.
Well, the most quotable movie.
That is a very quotable movie. My name isn't Gato Montoya. You've killed my father. Prepare to die. I probably am doing like the worst impression ever, but.
Okay. Well, we have established some very important things. Most important one being Princess Diaries. But let's keep rolling with our favorite types of comedy here. So one of the types that I especially love is, okay, I'm going to have to edit this. I had to reboot my Evernote and all my notes. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm going to redo that. So for my next one of the series that I think is very funny, but it's not, it's probably a mix between romance, comedy, and action mystery genre, and that is the Veronica Speedwell series. So these are books set in the 1800s. This woman is a very modern thinking, independent girl in a time that is not quite on her speed, shall we say. And so really when you call that book a comedy, it's mostly just because there's not really anything depressing in it. It's sort of in a lighthearted tone. There's not bucket loads of laugh out loud books, but every now and then Veronica says something that is just like scandalous to the people around her. And you're reading it like eating your lunch at work, and all of a sudden you like spit your lunch out because you can't believe that she said that to, like, you know, the old minister's wife or something like that. And it makes you laugh that way. So that's a different kind of one. There's quite a few movies I've noted called romantic comedies, and there's not bucket loads of laugh out loud. It's not like the Pitch Perfect, you've got, you know, like a joke per page sort of thing. But it's that nice tone, and then occasionally they just have that kicker that really makes you spit your lunch out.
I think that there are different types that I could like too, but I feel like it, we were talking about earlier, like there are times where I am such a tight person and there are times where I'm just like, you know what, that's normally not my favorite, or that usually is my favorite. It just depends on the delivery, I think. So I don't know. Rel, what are your thoughts?
In books, it's relating to, well, I think in books it's relating to the characters. Like if the character is someone you really connect with, and if you get inside them a bit more, the humour is better because you're kind of there with them, you know? I think so. Do I move to my next one? Here we go. Have you girls read any of these?
Ooh, I don't know. What are they?
Props coming.
Dun, 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 dun. Who is it?
Tamara, we can't see. Lee.
Tamara Lee.
Or you.
I have okay. not.
Although you'd say Tamara, wouldn't you?
I think. Well, but I think
say,
that.
Poor Tamara. I say Tamara.
I say it either way. I know a few other Tamaras and Tamaras, and so I just tend to whatever one comes out of the tongue first. Because I think that several of them pronounce them differently. Well, so,
if you guys have not read Stealing Adda, you simply must. It's about a writer.
Oh, nice.
So, she is a New York Times bestselling author. Yep. And then her book is plagiarized. But, oh, my goodness, it's first person. It's just brilliant. Tamara Lee now writes medieval historical romance novels, which she initially started, but she did this series back in the mid-2000s, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So we've moved from, you know, the late 90s to the mid-2000s.
Yes.
Stealing Adda was her first, you know, I guess it's chick lit, but, you know, it's romantic comedy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, so funny. And you're in this character's head because it's written in first person.
Mm.
And it's brilliantly done. And as writers, you will just love this book because, oh, there's just so, it's just so good. However, while I love that one, my favourite one of hers is Splitting Harriet.
Ooh.
And if you can see, ooh, there we go. Biker
okay,
Dude.
I have not read that one either.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, this one is a classic. So Harriet, you can't see in this. These have new covers because she's they're available online as digital books now.
Yep.
But this Splitting Harriet is a bad girl. She's a very, very bad girl who now is a good girl. So she lives basically in a retirement village and is trying to make up for the bad things she's done in her life. And she's involved in the little church there and all of that. Biker Dude, Maddox McRae, if you don't mind.
Maddox. That's like a good name for a guy. Like, ooh, that's a great name for a character.
Especially when there's this gorgeous down. Well, do you know what I loved about this too? He's not that gorgeous. Well, he's gorgeous, but the description isn't he's not the traditionally handsome man. You know, his nose is a bit crooked and he's very, you know. But what is he? He's a church consultant. So he's brought in to revive churches. So here's Harriet trying to be all traditional and conservative and, you know, do all the right things because she's been a bad girl and she's trying to get over her past. Well, Maddox turns up and wants to revamp the entire church, have arms waving in the air and all these programs, and it's just hilarious. And if you love M&Ms, there's lots of fun about M&Ms in there.
Oh, yes, M&Ms.
I think, again, M&Ms, I just it's like the theme in my book. So much, and I connected with Harriet so much, this girl trying desperately to do the right thing. And all of that just makes the humour in it fabulous. So
great. So
that's my
good.
Thoughts. What characters have you related to well?
I guess I don't know. I've related to characters on like a deeper level, which is like kind of, we've talked a little bit about that, some of the more spiritual aspects about writing and how you can like really see yourself in characters. But I don't know if I like have related to them on a comedic level. I can't really pinpoint anything. That's a good question. I would have to really think about that one.
Yeah, I don't know which ones. I'm normally reading more for like light entertainment, or I'm reading some kind of like gritty murder mystery or something. And as I am not a grizzled ex-special forces come detective, I don't tend to connect to them. And I don't know. I would have to think about that.
In all of the moments of comedy that I've liked, at least on TV or movies, it's always been like a character who's clumsy. That's a comedy that I really find hilarious. So, and I guess I can totally relate to that in some way. So it's ironic because I'm a dancer, but everyone thinks that we're always so graceful. And there have been plenty of moments in my life that I just like completely lose it. There was a moment 2 years ago, I want to say, I was, it was the night before I went on a date, blind date, and I went to the grocery store just to pick up some last minute groceries the night before and was opening the door, like something you do hundreds of times in the span of a month, you know, a year, whatever. Yeah. And I opened it directly into my face. And there was a massive gash, like, right above my eyebrow the next day. And, I mean, like, it was bleeding. I didn't even know it was bleeding until I, like, put my hand up because I'm like, that really hurts. Like, I knew it would hurt. But... And then I realized it was wet, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm bleeding. And I realized it as I'm driving. Like, it took me a minute to even figure out I'm bleeding. And then I'm driving, and I can't stand the sight of blood. I just can't. And so I was driving. I'm, like, feeling faint, and I like fumble around for a tissue, and I just like smash it up against my eye for like the 2 minute drive home that I had and go up the stairs. So I think I can relate to characters more when they're just perfectly clumsy, and that is what I find hilarious. So I guess I can't think of a specific character, but when I'm thinking about moments that I laugh at, I think it's the clumsiness, because I totally am clumsy in a lot
what
of ways.
What I'm finding hilarious now is when you open this story with, I was going to go on to a date and I did this really clumsy thing, I thought you were going to tell a different story that I know you've done.
I don't remember. What are you talking about?
This stepped on a hair straightener and...
Oh my gosh, that one too! That also happened! I swear all of these things happen before I go on dates, and it's just the worst.
I think for me, I love my favorite comedy in romance is a book that has the comedy that's really funny, but there's a really powerful message underneath. That's what I love. I love that. So you can read some romantic comedies that are just they're fun, they're light, they're fluffy. There's no, you know, it's just pure entertainment. But the ones I love, and Tamara Lee does it well, Kara Isaac does it well. You know, Jenny B. Jones, Melissa Tagg, you know, where it's hilarious and you're loving the story, you know, the light, the humor in the story, but all of a sudden you're thinking, hello, this is really funny, but they're actually saying something deeper as well. And so that's my favorite, where you've got both and it's so perfectly balanced, neither one kind of takes over. And
Jenny B. Jones is a great example.
Love it.
Classic.
Love
hers. I only have two of hers here because everyone borrows them, but so save the date. And then this compilation that she did with her friends Amy and Nicole and Tammy, a novella, but again, just super
just
fun.
One supper.
And she's just got the perfect voice, and I love her recent cozy mysteries. Have you read those?
I love them. They are so exactly what I love to read.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo Hudson, really.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she outdid herself that one.
Have you ever read a book and you're like, oh, my gosh, this has happened to me?
It wasn't that this has happened to me, but I liked it. It's actually called, not that I often read any books that have witches in them, but it's called Slouch Witch, and it's this about this witch who's like a genius at doing spells or whatever, but she's lazy. She drives a taxi. She doesn't use her skills. She doesn't exercise. Her apartment's a mess. And this dude who's like really uptight and really good in his field and stuff, for some reason he needs her, and they have to solve this mystery. So it's the same kind of cozy mystery, action adventure, comedy, romance sort of thing that I love, which is why I like smashed through it in one sitting. But what I loved about this chick is that she was kind of an anti-hero because she was so lazy. She was dragged into doing the right thing, kicking and screaming. And I think I love that her place was filthy because I'm really messy.
So what you're telling us is that you're messy, but you're also a genius. Is that right?
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
But it's the messy part. I like reading about main characters who are worse than me in some area because it makes me feel better about myself. And so when it talked about how messy she was, I was like, yes!
Okay, Ralph. So I don't know if you would have grown up on these necessarily, but I did in a sort of kind of way. My parents loved Carol Burnett growing up. They thought she was hilarious. And so I remember in high school when my dad had seen one of those paid advertisements on TV, you know, those like little ad promos that go on for like half an hour and you're like, call now with your credit card number and we'll give you six extras. And one of them was for DVDs. This was before the advent of like Netflix and all of the reboots, like all of these new things. And so mail in or give your credit card now and we'll give you a set of Carol Burnett DVDs. So it's a set of select episodes of the Carol Burnett show. Mm. And when he got them, I was living in an area, we had an open campus for lunch. And so I came home for lunch one day, which I usually did at least once a week. And I came home for lunch and it happened to be the same day that Dad got them in the mail. And I was like, I don't want to watch that for lunch. That's lame. That's old. I have no interest in watching Carol Burnett whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely hilarious. I sat down for 5 minutes and my dad was like, this is what we're watching. If not, too late. And so I sat and I watched it with him and let me tell you that was like the first time I was ever proven massively wrong. I was laughing within the first 2 minutes and I'm like, okay, this is pretty funny. And I learned the greatness of Carol Burnett in that moment. So
yeah. Yeah.
And then after I watched all of these episodes with my dad, there was one in particular that is probably one of the most known out of Carol Burnett's, and it's her spoof, which I guess is another type of comedy, is when you do spoofs, and I love spoofs, on Gone with the Wind. In Carol Burnett's version, I think it's probably better than the original Oscar-nominated film. So one of the things that happens in Gone with the Wind is she wears curtains because that's all she has. She wants to look nice for
women. Yes. Yeah.
And so Carol Burnett, and I've read like and heard her talk about this moment, so I know that like it was really during the first like rehearsal. Like it was never supposed to be in the original sketch, but she just sees the curtain rod and she's like, what if I came down wearing the curtains with the rod? And she does. And I swear it is the most iconic piece of Carol Burnett you will ever see. It is the best thing. If you haven't seen it, you should go YouTube it right now. She comes like walking down the stairs, like she's wearing this gorgeous garment and there's a curtain rod sticking in the back of her shoulders, like outwards. And it is the funniest thing ever. So after watching that, I ended up reading her first memoir and then have since read all of her memoirs. And I think some of my favorite moments ever are reading those books and laughing out loud hysterically, like to the point of I'm crying in the middle of public and people are staring at me while I'm reading this book. One of my favorite moments is when in one of her more recent memoirs, I can't remember which one, but she's talking about she's in a hotel with Julie Andrews and each of their husbands, like they ended up doing these like stupid pranks down the hallway of the hotel that they were staying at. And one of the times they were supposed to do this prank, it ended up that they ran into the First Lady of the United States. And it's so worth it. So I think that like Carol Burnett was kind of one of those surprise comedians for me that I never expected to like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fall in love with her.
Yep. I had to stop reading. Miranda Hart's done, she's done a couple of books too, and her first book about her life, I was on a plane and I had to stop reading it because I was laughing so much and I couldn't stop shaking, you know, that real body laugh. And I just had to put it down because it just was getting too embarrassing. So, yeah, it's good fun when you can find someone like that that you just really
laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think when you know them and you've seen them on TV, you can actually, you read it and you hear their voice.
Hear their voice.
You know, you hear their voice as they're in the words. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
Well, I probably only have one type left that I really want to chat about, and that is the books that are hilarious through the way, through the character's voice, the way that they describe things and the way that they see the world. I think my two best examples are The Hating Game. That one is so funny. The way Lucy sees the world, the way that she describes Josh and what he looks like. You realize by the end of the book that she's actually a bit of an unreliable narrator, because he kind of mentions a few times that he doesn't think he's as good looking as she sees him as. And you realize it's just because she likes him that she sees him in a certain way, and she thinks everything looks good on him. And she says things like, when she's trying to get him to talk and trying to understand him, she says, "I want to juice your head like a lemon." And just the way that she comes out with all those things, it's so funny. And they're making a movie of it, and I cannot wait to see it, because it'll be fantastic. However, I am curious to see, because half the comedy, there is a lot of comedy in it that doesn't come from Lucy's voice. Like the paintball scene is genuinely just a hilarious picture in your head. Yeah. But I do wonder how it will translate, because I know that's why a lot of movies that are made, that are adapted from first person books, often try to use voiceovers. Like when they made One for the Money, my other example is Janet Ivanovich. The way Stephanie Plum describes things is so funny. When they made the movie, it didn't quite come across as well, because you're not in her head, and they tried to compensate with voiceovers, but in a movie it just doesn't work quite as well.
Yeah.
But in the book it is so funny, and so I'm really interested to see what they do with the movie for The Hating Game.
That's interesting. As you're talking about that, I kept thinking of like Sherlock Holmes. And I know that this is probably not like a normal thought. I read the Sherlock Holmes books growing, or books, but stories, a collection of stories growing up. Yeah. My dad had like the huge books, like thick book of all of the compilations. And I went through at one point and read them. And I think I didn't, in reading his character, I don't think I understood or grasped just the eccentricities that made him so funny. But it was in watching movies of like Sherlock Holmes adaptations later that you're just like, oh. And I like went back and I reread some of them, and it, in seeing the way the actors played Sherlock Holmes and translating that onto the page, it actually made me love the books more than what I had already loved them. And it's so funny to like see in your head as you're reading it the visual eccentricities of Sherlock, who is a very eccentric man.
I don't know if I can think of any like that. It's hard.
No.
Most of the movies, the books I've read that are made into movies are thrillers, so I can't really speak to.
I guess
Sherlock Holmes is a thriller too, but you know.
I think that's probably a reason why, is because they work better. Like those books are kind of written fairly cinematically. It's more about what's happening physically than what's in their head. Whereas the humor for a lot of book rom-coms comes from the character's voice. Although ones like Jenny's books would go really well to the screen, because a lot of her humor is, some of it's from the voice, but a lot of it is from her really funny secondary characters. There's often a hilarious grandmother figure. Or a friend, like in Save the Date, there's the grandmother, but then there's the grandmother's friend. What was his name? Julian or something like that.
Yeah,
he was so funny.
I think another thing. Sorry, go ahead. Keep continue.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, it's in hers, it's the secondary characters plus some funny situations plus some voice. But because it doesn't rely, you know, predominantly on the voice, then it would translate. Yep. Bring a lot better than, say, an Ivanovich book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's so interesting, because there are, like, even movies and books that have a darker tone to them, whether they're thrillers or action movies or just more dramatic. I've actually been going through and watching all of the 2019 Oscar nominees. I just got done. Yeah. Well, I'm actually partly doing it for work, so I can't really like claim it's just all about myself. But it is kind of cool to say that like this year I'm going to watch all the at least the ones nominated for Best Picture. I just went and I watched Green Book, and that's a very more serious, dramatic type movie, but it definitely isn't dark. So it's kind of like an in between. But there are some really hysterical moments in the film of like characters doing stuff, like, because they come from opposite worlds, And so I love when you get a character out of their element and they have to like do something that's totally not what they would normally do.
Yeah.
And the whole circumstance of like this person who they know is kind of like forcing them into it. There's a moment in the story that has to do with chicken, and I don't want to like give anything away because it kind of is a cute little moment in the movie, but it is absolutely funny to watch this, like these two kind of spar with each other in a way that, because they're just so different and they don't know each other that well, as the movie goes along, obviously they get to know each other pretty well, but it's always funny to watch a character being pushed into a situation that they really don't want to be in.
It's funny you mention that, because in my pile of romantic comedy books here, I also put this one.
Nightshade by Ronnie.
Nightshade by Ronnie Kendig and her whole Discarded Heroes series. And the reason why I brought this one is because they're even though it's a military thriller, the banter between the team, the guys, I just love that. And even though it's a serious book and it's a thrill and there's so much action and adventure and all of that, but then she's able to just have this banter that, you know, just makes you laugh. So you're in such an intense scene and then, you know, one of the team will have a crack at one of the other guys. And it's just so funny. And she does the same in her recent series, The Tox Files. There's a character, Sel Barclay, who is hilarious. And I really love that even in, you know, the more serious books, like you've said, that movie as well, you can still have a thread of humour that just is really eases the tension a bit for you and just provides, just another element to the book that's really special. So it was a funny one to put in with my collection of all these rom-coms. But I thought, that's an element in those stories of hers that I really, really enjoyed. I think just comedy is great. It can be, if it's done well, can be in any genre or you know, it doesn't have to be just a romantic comedy. It doesn't have to be just contemporary. I mean, there's lots of historical romance authors who are, you know, well, not lots, but there's a few who are writing comedy as well, and Mary Keneally and Karen Whittemeyer in the Christian Market and things like that, and Tessa Dare in you know, the General Market. And it's just, comedy's great. I think it's a real power to connect and bond people in lots of ways. Yeah.
I totally agree with that statement. I think that comedy belongs in all genres. It's just how you insert it is the thing. I think that's what got me so hooked on Castle from the first episode, the TV show, because it's not a Law and Order. I don't want to come home from work and watch something as dark and deep as Law and Order, but I like the procedurals. I like the mystery. Yeah. And so when you get that comedy and that banter between that team in Castle, I think that's one of the main reasons why I loved that show so much.
No, that's true.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rel. It's been great chatting about comedy and fiction with you.
It's totally fun. Loved it.
And thank you for helping represent Australia. Yeah.
No worries.
Most of our episodes were like, we need a sequel episode to this, because I always have like twice as much written in my notes as we get to in the episode.
I know. Oh, yeah, I could talk forever, so you don't want that. Get me on books and you can't shut me up. And I'm actually an introvert, believe it or not, but books has a way of making me an extrovert.
That's the whole reason why we started this podcast, so that we never had to shut up about books.
Well, speaking of shutting up, though, it is probably time for us to shut up and listen. Oh, little Vanta Princess Diaries. No, it probably is time for us to go. We don't want our listeners to have to listen to us forever. So we should go. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. And we will have to plan a next time. So thank you.
For sure. My pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, Rel. See you later. Bye.
All right, everyone. Bye. Hey guys, if you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I am on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.